I want to speak to you about glory, the glory of God or the glory of the Lord. And as the Lord began to open these things up to my mind this week, I found myself searching for words that would identify the glory of the Lord. So, of course, I went to the dictionary, and I was not satisfied with the definitions in my dictionary. I turned to a Bible dictionary. I tried to search it out in that particular place. I found a few more words that seemed to open it up for adjectives to describe the glory of the Lord. And then I began to just simply seek the Lord. Lord, how can I identify, how can I convey in words the glory of the Lord? Is it important that we understand the glory of the Lord? I believe it is, and I feel that even in my life, even though I use those words, I use those words in my prayer. As I'm praying, I'm saying, Lord, I glorify you, I praise you, I worship you, I use those words. And yet in our humanity, I'm wondering if I really have understood how glorious the Lord really is. And so I desire your prayers that the Lord will help me to be able to give us some words today to open that up in our minds. So, as I looked into the word about glory or glorious, I found that the word was not introduced until in Exodus. It wasn't spoken of. Oh, there's two places in Genesis, but it didn't have to do with the glory of the Lord. And so I had to stop and think about, well, Lord, why was it clear into you bringing your children out of Egypt that it began to be awakened in the minds of the people of your glory? And then as I looked in the concordance, I found that there were numerous scriptures in Psalms about the glory of the Lord. And then I found that in the prophecies, in the prophets, there were a number of scriptures that has the word glory or glorious or glorify. So the Old Testament is really full of the glory of the Lord, and it went over into the New Testament. So the whole Word of God wants to open up to our understanding, why does God have this glory? And what is it about the glory that is important to you and me in our worship, in our serving Him, in our walk with Him? So here's some words that the Lord gave me to describe His glory. Grandeur, holiness, righteousness, magnificence, majesty, splendor, beauty, greatness and infinite power, honor, greatness all by itself. Isn't God great? That tells of His glory. He has authority. His perfection is to the highest degree. Some of these are phrases. You can't just stop with perfection. You have to add that last part, to the highest degree, because many people claim perfection, but God's perfected. He's more perfect. You know, somebody said one time, you can't be more perfect. I believe there are degrees of perfection in humans, but God's perfection is to the highest degree. Supreme excellence above all others. Goodness, wisdom. Do you think you could think of any other words to describe the glory of the Lord. This is our God. This is our God in whom we trust. This is our God in whom we believe and follow. He's our heavenly Father, and He has all glory. Now, I want to say this before we start, because I also use this in my prayer oftentimes. The scripture says that He will not share His glory with any man. And so as you and I worship the Lord or trust in Him or pray and seek His help and His guidance, and whatever request that we make known unto Him, always tell Him, I will not touch your glory. I will not share in your glory. If you want God to use you, you cannot be used if you're sharing in His glory, because the glory will be taken away. So I want us to keep that in mind as we go forward with the thought this morning. And unfortunately, I have a lot of scripture. The first scripture that I have is 1 Chronicles 29 and 11 through 12. And the Lord opened this one up to me a number of years ago, inspired this scripture to me. And so I'm going to read it here this morning. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might. That, to me, is the scripture that describes His glory. I read that with vehemence because it was worthy of it. It's important that we feel His glory and understand how important it is to my faith. You and I need the faith of Christ in order to believe in the glory of the Father. Thank the Lord. Okay, now let's look at some scriptures in Exodus. And there is not time to cover a subject this huge. So by the help of the Lord, we're going to try to just open up to our minds a little bit of that glory. Exodus 33, this is coming from verses 12 through 14, 17 through 23, chapter 34, 29 through 30, 33 through 34. Quite a few verses there. Maybe we'll try to paraphrase some of it for the sake of time. Starting at verse 12 and 33, and Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. The last part of that verse says, yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Verse 13, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, shew me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. Verse 14, and he said, God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. This presence is divine grace. The grace of God, the very presence of God. He's giving a promise here to the children of Israel, to Moses. And he's saying, I'm going to go with you. That had not happened. Verse 15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up thence. And verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. Verse 18. And he said, I beseech thee, shew me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness. God said this. I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. Verse 20. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock and will cover thee with mine hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now go down into the next chapter, 34. Let's look at 5 and 6 and 8 to start off. No, I'm sorry, 29 through 30. And it came to pass when Moses came down from the mount with the two tables of the testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down, the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Verse 30. And when all the children of Israel saw Moses, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, in verse 32, and afterward all of the children of Israel came nigh. But verse 33 says, when Moses spoke to them, till Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Verse 34, when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and he spake to the children of Israel the commandments, all he was commanded. So the face of Moses was shown in a glow, if you will. It had a change because he came so close to the glory of the Lord. And yet he could not see God's face, but he saw just his backside. We're all familiar with this particular passage. But I want to tell you, we need to think about the glory of the Lord having that kind of an impact on Moses. That he had such a look on his face, it caused the people to be afraid. Now go back up to verse 5 and 6 and 8 of that same chapter. And this particular part is really describing the very character and nature of God. It said, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him, Moses, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, he is saying this of himself, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for the thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Do you see God's mercy? And then look at verse 8. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Oh, I cannot imagine being in the presence, the actual holy presence of God, and not bowing and worshiping, it would have an impact on us. It should have an impact on us even now. Because the glory of the Lord has not lifted from the earth. The scripture says, shall I find faith when I return? Faith in what? Faith in the glory. There are few people that can comprehend, they take it so lightly, that God is glorious, that he's all of these things that we have tried to describe his glory. We have never come in contact with one human being. Oh, we might have leaders of countries where people might glorify them and lift them up. But to say that we have actually experienced the splendor of God and the magnificence and the majesty and the beauty and the greatness, I'm not sure our little human minds could take it in. We can only see through a glass darkly. The scripture says that. We're trying to understand how great God is and the glory of his very person and his power and what he wants to be to his people. And Moses had the privilege of seeing just his backside, and it transformed his face. A little bit further in Exodus, chapters 35 through 39, we're not going to read all of that. Sometime you might want to study that. But after this glory was revealed to Moses, then God began to give him instructions of how his very presence could be with the children of Israel. You remember when there was a mount, when Moses was up on the mount, and how God was presented to the children of Israel. It was in the last message that we had. How that it was in thunderings and lightnings and a loud trumpet, and the people were so afraid, and they were even told, don't even touch the mount or you will die. God is so powerful that we as little weak human beings of the earth, we can be destroyed by it. What is standing between him and us in order for us to approach him? The word of God is there now. And the word of God says, you come boldly to the throne of grace. And so we're in a dispensation that we can come boldly, that we can believe he is here with us. Thank the Lord. But in those particular chapters, Moses is given all explicit, detailed instructions of how to build this place where his presence will dwell with the children of Israel. Now he appeared as a cloud and as a pillar of fire, and he did that even when his presence came into the tabernacle, the movable tabernacle. It was God's presence with them that guided them when the cloud began to move, they began packing up. And they followed that cloud wherever it led. It was their comfort, their assurance in the night. When they woke up in the night for whatever reason and they looked toward it, they saw that pillar of fire over that tabernacle. And that was God's presence with them. But let's look now in the 40th chapter and just... we're going to skip all of that information. You can find that out. But he was a very particular God. Very detailed in his instructions down to color, material, how it was put together. Everything was absolutely important to be exactly like that for his presence to be there. There's a reason for that. But we come down to verse 34 of the 40th chapter. And in that particular chapter is where the tabernacle was erected. And now this is what happened. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode there and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, Moses was the only one that had been in his very presence and witnessed his glory. But this was so glorious he could not even enter in. God is so... we can't fathom God, can we? I feel like my words this morning are so feeble to try to even open it up to us of the glory of the Lord, of the greatness of God. And yet it says in one place that he condescends to you and me of low estate. He recognizes our humanity, and he's willing to still come down to you and me. This God that filled this place that no man could walk into because his glory was so great. And it said, verse 36, and when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went on their way. Now, I want the scripture, maybe it's a little bit further down. One scripture that I read that when, oh, we'll come to it. I still got it. It tells what the people did when the glory filled the tabernacle. Let's go to the next one. This is it. So now we're going to leave this tabernacle and we're going to go to the temple. And it's in 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. I trust that the Lord will open this up to you this morning. This is the temple now. Solomon has built the temple. The instructions were given to David, his father. And this was a place for God's presence to live, to abide with his people on earth. Old Testament. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, and the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house, and the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. This is so great, they can't even enter in again. And then look at verse 3. And when the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. His presence could have absolutely slew them, but his mercy extended life to them. You and I could be taken out, but the mercy of the Lord spares us in our humanity and in our ignorance. I sometimes think we're sort of ignorant about how we need to show more honor and praise and glory to the one that is so glorious, and to his power and his might and his majesty. And we take it for granted. That's what I see. I see that we just live every day and we don't even think about this, his magnificence and his power. So the people worshiped and then said, your mercy is forever. Thank the Lord. Now let's go over to the New Testament, to Luke. And we're going to find an experience there in the 9th chapter, verses 28 through 32. and 34 through 36. A familiar passage here also. Jesus has taken Peter and James and John and went up to the mountain to pray. Verse 29, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistering. Glistering, I thought it was glistening, but it's glistering. It shone. So while Jesus was praying, there was something that totally changed in him. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, men that were in eternity and came back by the Spirit, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish. Verse 32. Now the scripture here says that the disciples were heavy with sleep, but it said when they were awake, they saw his glory. And then verse 34, and while he spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. So the glory is now being transferred, if you will, to the Son. It had been. Jesus spoke numerous places that he would glorify the Father, and the Father would glorify him. So that all of these descriptive words can now be applied to the Son. So that's one instance. Now I want you to go with me to Acts, the first chapter. Because Jesus gave instructions to his disciples. Verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. But, he said, wait for the promise of the Father. And he told them, John baptized with water, but I am going to baptize you. Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And it says, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me. And so, right after that is when he was taken up in a cloud out of their sight. And that's what the disciples and the 120 that were gathered together, they were obeying what he said. You tarry here at Jerusalem. I want you to wait for the baptizing of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 2. The day of Pentecost was fully come, verse 1. And all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house. Don't you think that was his glory? It was the visible part of God's glory sending his very Spirit to be able to dwell with man. What a privilege that man can have the Spirit of God dwelling in them. Now we call this act, it is not demonstrated in the same way now. It has not come upon us in a rushing mighty wind. The cloven tongues are not sitting upon our head, but by faith, when we submit our whole life, We give him our will. We give him our plans. We give him everything that pertains to my life, for all of my life. When I open myself up and say, Father, here am I. Fill me. He will fill us with his glory, with his Holy Spirit. Oh, they couldn't do that back there. He had to be in a temple made with hands. What does the scripture say? We know the scripture. Now it's your temple. Don't you know that your temple is the temple for the Holy Ghost? Oh, thank the Lord. Aren't you glad we're not in that dispensation, that we're now here, and that we can have just a little understanding of the glory of God and what he wants to do in our life? Oh, another scripture says, it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. I don't know how to direct my life. You don't either. We can try and we mess up. But when we have the Holy Spirit, and it's now in filling us, it's the glory of God. It's all of those things that I named. It's the magnificence. It's the splendor, the beauty, the great power, the honor, the greatness, the authority. You're subjecting yourself. Lead me, because he promised that he would. Guide me, he said he would. Teach me, he said he would, into all truth. Oh, I want to tell you, I want this glory to be in my life. Now let's think of another scripture. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm thinking of Acts, the 4th chapter, I believe it is. Something happened with the apostles. Peter, who had once denied the Christ, he was very carnal. He took a sword and cut off the man's ear. He was ready to fight with weapons of warfare that were carnal. But you see a different Peter now. And this is after the Holy Ghost has come upon him and is filling the glory of the Lord. And so they are called before the high priest, he and John. And they are put to the test, and they are asked questions. By what power, by what name have you done this? And it says, verse 8, Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, said, and then he began to tell them boldly that which he had been fearful to even say to a maid. And they began to open it up to them. And look what happened to the men, verse 13. And now when they, the men, saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they counted them as ignorant men. Did you know that the simple of the earth can be filled with the glory of God? And they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with a glory with Jesus. Something changed. Maybe they didn't have the shining face and the glistening clothes, but the very nature of that glory was now working in them. That's what the Lord wants to do with you and me. He wants to fill us with his glory. Or his Holy Spirit, that you and I will not have fear, but boldness to be able to be a witness of him in the uttermost parts of the earth. We're living in a time where the enemy would like to put fear in our minds as we hear of all of the things that are happening in the world, but also in our nation. And the thoughts are, maybe you need to not say anything. I want to talk to us a little bit about how we can give glory to his name. How can we glorify God? We can glorify God. The Lord just inspired these thoughts to us. When we acknowledge him. When we acknowledge that God has all power in heaven and in earth. You know what we heard in this court thing with the one that refused to give the marriage license. I heard that it was said to those individuals, you will face the judgments of God. And they said, we don't believe in judgment. You know what? We glorify God when we believe in his judgment. We glorify him. When you and I confess he is worthy to receive honor and praise, when we believe his promises, when we wait for the performance of those promises, we are glorifying God. You're giving God the glory. When we proclaim and acknowledge true religion or the truth, are we going to be a straddle the fence? One leg over here and one over here to protect ourselves? I want to give God the glory, don't you? I want to glorify him. When we see our righteousness as what? Filthy rags. You don't have any righteousness. I don't have any righteousness except what God has given us of his righteousness. Only his glory. I have no glory. When I see myself as nothing and him as all things, I'm giving glory to his name. When I suffer for his namesake, I give him glory. I glorify him. There's different ways to suffer, isn't there? Persecution. We have been so pampered in our whole life to live in a nation such as this. We never one time thought, I didn't, of religious or Christians being persecuted in this nation. Never thought of it. We had freedom. We had liberty. And we often come here to the services and we'll even say, we thank the Lord that we're maybe in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that we're in this place, that we're not living in fear of being arrested. We still need to pray for the Lord to allow us to live a quiet and a peaceful life. I want to pray. I still pray that way. I want you to also. But it could happen. You know, there were, back during World War II, I just read this book. It's a true story. Happened in Holland, and when the Germans came in and took over the country, and many people were arrested for various things. If they resisted, they were arrested. If they tried to protect people, the Jews, they were all arrested. And many were shot and killed as a result of their choice. And you know, for a political reason, they would not back down. Very few would back down. They would just go to their death. How much more so if we do it for the name of Christ? It glorified no one. But this is to His glory. I've told this here before, but this is the one story of the persecutions of the Christians, the martyrs. And I made it a song. I'd like to hear it again. It's called 29 Soldiers for Christ. And so here's 29 soldiers that's been arrested, and they were being put out on an ice lake, a frozen lake, without any clothing or anything to protect them from the cold, and to have the slow death of freezing to death. And not far from this lake was a shack or a building of some kind that was warm. And they told them, anytime you want to recant and give up Christ, you can come and get in this warm building. There was a guard in that building that was looking on and observing these 29 soldiers out there slowly freezing to death. But there was one soldier that decided to save his life. Don't you know what the Bible says? That if we save our life, we'll lose it. But if we lose our life, we will save it. Doesn't sound right, does it? But it's how it is. And so this one soldier, he broke loose, and while he had the strength, he ran back to get in the warmth and recover. And it was the guard then that stripped off his clothes and took his place. And there were still 29 soldiers for Christ. I want to glorify the Lord. I don't want to save my life and lose it. We can glorify Him when we trust Him. When we trust His wisdom as well as His power. That's a saying, you know, somebody has realized that trust is more than getting your own way and your answer every time. Because sometimes the answer is no. And other times it will be yes. But when I trust Him, whether I live or die, I'm bringing glory to His name. We're giving glory when we offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's important that we offer thanksgiving. I have a couple of more scriptures I want to give to you. 1 Corinthians 10 and 3. And this one is a challenge to us. It should be. It is to me. And that scripture says, whether, and I'm going to insert here, I don't think it takes away from the scripture, whatever ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do it all. To what? To the glory of God. God's looking for us to bring glory to His name in the earth. So it doesn't matter even what we eat and drink. I'm afraid we don't think about that. We talk about healthy eating, and I believe the Lord wants us to eat balanced and healthy for His glory. And then it just goes on and says, whatever you do, whatever actions you do in your life, do it with the thought of his glory in your mind. Matthew, the 6th chapter and verse 6 is the final scripture. And it tells us how to pray. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. The reference at the side said private chamber. Now, I don't know that any of us ever really go into a closet to pray, but I can tell you that you have to have some private time to pray somewhere. Do you have a prayer chair? You have a chair that you just specifically like to pray in that place? Did you know that even though I am in my house, it's not very often that I pray out loud? That's a private chamber. And so he's speaking of us coming before him. The next part there says, we are to shut the door. Well, this may not be a literal door, but you're going to have to shut a door in your mind to all of the thoughts that are there to distract and hinder your prayer, or you won't receive the glory as a result of your prayer. It says, shut the door and pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You want others to say, take note that you've been with Jesus? You want the glory of the Lord to shine out of your life because he has filled you with his Holy Spirit? There is a price that you and I pay to have this glory. You have to give your all. You have to be subject to his will. You have to take his way. You cannot have partly your way and partly his way. It's the same as he said, any man touch, I will not share my glory with any man. He's not going to share it. Give your all. Allow his very spirit to be in you, to work in you, to do the work that he wants done in you, and then the glory will come out. The evidence of the Spirit of God being in your life, it will come out. There will be a witness of the Spirit demonstrating the glory of the Lord in our lives. The scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I'm going to say, oh, taste of the glory. Taste of the glory of the Lord. Let it spoil you for anything else. That you will not stop until you have this glory in your life. This Holy Spirit ruling and reigning. This is the temple now, and he wants to fill the temple. Pray for me.